Now, lots of us, we will do our Christmas shopping at Lidl this year, I assume. Their newest slogan, I wonder if you've clocked it, big on a Christmas that you can believe in. Now, what do they mean? Probably something like this. This is the Lidl promise. This is the kind of the believable Lidl promise. We promise you affordable turkey, potatoes and stuffing, and that is what you'll actually get. Believe us and come and spend your money in our shop. So that slogan that they've come up with it because they think that it will connect with people. That's what advertisers do, isn't it? And that's why there is a cute teddy bear on all the Lidl advertising, not a, I don't know, poisonous tarantula or a naked mole rat. That's what advertisers do, isn't it? So that slogan, what's it saying? It's saying, here is a believable Christmas. Here is a trustworthy Christmas offering. And it's about shopping. And there's Jesus Christ absolutely nowhere in it. And that's not surprising, is it? Here in Britain, in 2022, we do not live in a Christian country. Christmas, for most people, it's not a Christian celebration. It's about family and fun and food, and Lidl can help us with one of those Fs. But in that slogan, I wonder too if Lidl are having a cheeky little dig at the true Christmas story. So Jesus and Mary and angels and Herod and so on, as if to say, that's not believable, and most people don't think it's believable. So this afternoon, just for a few moments, I want us to see why it is that we might not want Christmas to be all about Jesus. We're going to try and learn something about ourselves from the Bible. And we're going to try to see why Christmas with Jesus, rather than without him, actually offers us what we really need, and deep down also what we really want. And what we're going to do is just take two sentences from our last Bible reading that Katie read for us. Listen to those words again. You'll see them up on the screen behind me. Talking about Jesus. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let's just work through that verse for a few minutes. He came. He came. Now, children, in that verse, who is the he in the he came? And the answer is, of course, it's Jesus. He came. Now, that reading from the very start of John's Gospel, it does not start the story of Jesus in Bethlehem. When we think of the Jesus story, that's where we usually imagine it begins. But Jesus' disciple, Jesus' friend John, he starts Jesus' story in the beginning, the very, very, very beginning. So when Jesus came, when he was born in the Bethlehem manger, the one who came was the one who was already in the beginning, who was with God, who is God, who made the universe, God the Son, he came. So Jesus, not just a man, but God. And it's a very hard thing to get your head around that. You might expect that with the things of God. So that when that stable at Bethlehem saw the birth of Jesus, that stable contained within it something that was bigger than the whole world. The baby who is the God who made it all. And that is a little clue, by the way, that the God who made us is not playing some game of hide and seek with us. I think we sometimes wonder if he is, but he's not distant. He's not far from us. He sent his son Jesus. God came to show God to us. So he came, and he came, we're told, to his own. See that in the verse there. And in the original language that the New Testament was written in, we read actually that Jesus came to his own things. Jesus came to his own things. Now, think about your own things for a minute. Children, what are some of your things? What are some of the things that you have that you own that are most precious to you? I don't know, maybe it's your Lego. Maybe it's an amazing den that you have built to hide in. Grown-ups, we have things. We have things in spades, many of us, don't we? House, car, golf clubs, bits of technology. I don't know what it is. Now, those things, why are they yours? Well, either you've bought them, or you've been given them, or you have made them. You know, grown-ups, I built the company. I created that bit of art. Children, you built the den. Maybe grown-ups too, I don't know. But it means it's yours, isn't it? It's yours in a really deep way. Now think about Jesus. When Jesus came to his own things, well, he came to the whole of creation, his things, everything that's been made, from microbes, well, to the universe itself and everything in between. And they are his own things because he made them. We exist because of him. They're his in the deepest possible way. And that means, actually, when we read a bit of the Bible, when we read one of the Gospels, one of the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life, we see the Creator doing things with his things. So we see Jesus doing things like calming the storm and healing the sick and raising the dead, things that are not normal things, but that make sense if the one who made those things is there. And those things, that includes us too. It means that we are his. We don't have life independent or apart from Jesus. Now, Christmas time, it often features arguments over ownership, doesn't it? For example, that is my little pony. Do they still exist? I don't know. No, it's my little pony. That's my Porsche. No, it's mine. I don't have a Porsche. But you fill in the gaps. We're familiar with that, aren't they? It's the way our hearts and our words often go. Now, sensible parents rapidly label valuable items. You know, you get your Sharpie out and you rapidly write in it, property of whoever it is. Now, the Bible says of us that we are property of Jesus. We are his, we belong to him. Now, if you're here today this afternoon as a Christian person, you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, and you know Jesus Christ, that is something that you've come to welcome. This idea that you actually belong to Jesus, you actually love it, being owned by someone as wonderful as him. We know that we can truly be ourselves when first of all we know that we are his. But that's not actually the natural response to Jesus. It says in our verse, his own people did not receive him. So even those people who were supposed to be ready for Jesus, even those people who should have been looking forward to Jesus coming from the first bit of the Bible, called the Old Testament, you know, which promised that one day God would come, he'd be born of a virgin, he'd be born in Bethlehem. These amazing and detailed promises and prophecies looking forward. The people who should have been looking forward to him did not receive him, did not welcome him. In fact, they chose not to know him. And here's the reason why. It's because he is light that shows up our darkness. I don't know when the last time was you read one of the Gospels. You read one of the accounts of Jesus' life and you saw what actually Jesus was like. You know, in his words, his conduct, the way he treated people. When you read about Jesus in the Gospels, you see two things. Firstly, his life is beautiful. It is like light. He shows love and tenderness like no one else loves. He confronts evil. Though he is God, he's utterly humble and gracious. He describes himself as a servant. He never succumbs to temptation. He never gives in to evil. But one thing happens too, when you read about Jesus, the way he was, the way he treated people, the way he also was not, you start to kind of see yourself in comparison. It's a bit like a mirror. You look at his life, you look at his words, and you think, if he is light, then I know that in me is an awful lot of dark. And being exposed like that, you know, having a light shone into dark recesses of yourself, it's quite a painful experience. And that is one reason why we might want to say of Christmas, it's just unbelievable, and I want to keep it at arm's length. Because you don't want to receive someone who will shine light into dark places. Just imagine for a moment you're in the supermarket. It could be Lidl, it could be somewhere else, and you have a trolley. And I don't know, five trolleys out of eight have got a broken wheel, something like that, I reckon. You're trying to push it down the aisle. It will not go in a straight line. Now imagine for a moment that Jesus Christ is at the end of the aisle. He's shining a light at you, and every instinct of our being is to kind of veer to the left or to the right away from him. So it wasn't just then, it's us too now. His own people did not receive him. But what if you do receive him? What if you do receive this Jesus? Well, our verse tells us he gives the right to become children of God. Lots of folk, when they think about Jesus Christ, lots of folk think that Jesus came maybe to give us information about God, maybe to give us a code of conduct, how to live, you know, copy his life or copy his words and be good or at least be better. It's the approach of the world's religions. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus came in order to turn God's enemies into God's children. He gives the right to become children of God. Now that phrase, it sounds nice, doesn't it? But what does it actually mean? At root, it means this. It means having God, the Father, as your Father. You might know the Lord's Prayer. It means truly being able to say of the God who made you, our Father, my Father. It means knowing God, actually knowing God. And Jesus will say that that's actually life itself. We all want life. We all want the fullness of life. Perhaps we're trying to wring life out to get as much from it as we possibly can, or we're disappointed that we have not been able to wring as much out of life as we can. Well, the Christian message says that life itself is actually knowing the God who made you as your Father in heaven. Now, that's quite a hard thing to explain and understand. Really, it is something you have to experience. Someone likened it to a bit like having an underground river that flows through your life. It's there the whole time. It brings strength and joy, even in tough circumstances. And sometimes it just wells up to bring you this deep assurance and confidence that the God who made me, yes, he is my Father. He loves me and he cares for me. And all of that, it comes from that river's source, my adoption into the family of God. And that's why Jesus came. So that through his death on the cross, that's the Easter story, through the gift of his Holy Spirit, he could give to people like you and me the right to become children of God. So Christmas, it is about giving and receiving gifts. And so very simply, all of us, we're encouraged to receive him. The Bible here tells us this adoption into the family of God, it comes by receiving Jesus, by believing in him. It doesn't come by, say, our moral or our spiritual effort. Friends of ours have adopted two little boys. They did not adopt themselves into that family. Think of them coming as infants, lying helplessly in a cot. Their first little one, he did not submit a resume of his qualifications, did not sign a legal document promising always to obey his mum and dad and never to whack his new siblings. Lots of us, I think, believe that it doesn't really matter who you believe in or what you believe, so long as you lead a good life. And the assumption is you're not so bad or so weak or so dark as to need someone to save you. But this Christmas time, actually just like in the whole year, we will see so much evidence that our efforts cannot be good enough. You know, I challenge you to go through the next week, let alone past Christmas Day and beyond. We will see so much evidence that we don't love God and we don't love each other as we ought. And wonderfully, receiving Jesus is not about our effort. It's about receiving a person. Imagine opening a door and a person walking through it, Jesus walking through it. It's about believing him, trusting him for what he has done. So where does trust in Jesus come from? It's not magical. It comes through the Bible and it comes through prayer. Really good thing for you to do this Christmas time would be to spend an hour reading one of the Gospels. If you're not a regular here at Emmanuel or not normally in a church on a Sunday, please take away a Gospel just from the table by the door on your way out. You might want to read the first few pages alone and see if you'd like to study a bit more. You could have a cup of coffee with one of the team here at Emmanuel. You could join a Christianity Explored course in the new year. Please let us know if you're interested. In the Gospel, you meet this Jesus. And pray. That might sound an alien or a weird thing to some of us. Talk to God and ask him. Christian people are not Christian people because they have made themselves into Christians. You know, God brings us into his family. And actually, any one of us can pray, God, change my heart and bring me into your family. And life with Jesus, life as one of God's children, it is not always straightforward, but truly it is life. Amen.